I want to talk today about something that we don't normally, or we don't talk about directly that often. But I've been thinking a lot lately about the suffering that is so much a part of all of our lives, either directly or that which we share with those around us. You know, we as God's first fruits have suffered many, in many different ways. We've had many different trials, some of them very difficult, very hard. At other times, we have watched, prayed for, and often directly helped brethren go through long and difficult trials. We've seen many healings. We've seen many deaths. We've shed many tears. And actually, all that helps us to develop compassion and empathy for other people. You know that I've often said that everything we experience in this life is part of our training for our place in God's family, where we will be helping countless people. You know, many times I've also said that, you know, during the millennium and the white throne judgment, no one will be able to come up to us and say, "But you don't understand. How could you understand?" You know, they won't be able to say that without us replying, "Oh, but I do understand." You know, let me tell you what I experienced and how God helped me through it and how he blessed me because of it. So suffering actually helps us grow all the fruits of God's Spirit. And that's an important part of our lives as God's first fruits. It's an important reason for the difficulties and the trials that we go through. You know, but it's not the only reason. There are others, and I want to look at one of those others with you this morning. If you look at Hebrews chapter 5, we'll start there anyway. Hebrews 5, and verse 8, which says, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." You know, this is a verse that has, I guess, puzzled many people for a long time. And generally, the church has explained it more or less in this way. Jesus Christ had lived in eternity with the Father, always in perfect agreement, always living in accordance with the laws that define their way of thinking and acting. Then he gave up his glory and became a lowly human being. He then learned how to obey, even when burdened by the pulls of human nature and the constant influence of Satan and Satan's world. Think about what that actually means. You know, he learned to obey even when faced with the threat of torture and a cruel, unjustified death. He experienced how difficult it is to always be on guard against Satan's subtle lies and his temptations. He learned how difficult it is to have people lie about you, attack your character and your motives, and to reject you, to turn their backs on you and walk away from you, having nothing more to do with you. Yes, those are some of the things that Jesus experienced and learned from while struggling as a human being, having to constantly control the same twisted human nature that we all have and at the same time stand up to the constant pressure of Satan, you know, just to do one little thing different from what the Father desires. He experienced firsthand the things that, you know, we go through in this life. And all of that is correct, and yet there's even more to the story. Because from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned by deciding to follow Satan and his way of selfishness, God has suffered. He saw his advice, his directions, his commandments, which are the way to all that is good, be rejected and disobeyed. When Adam and Eve sinned by obeying and following Satan, God knew that man's life from then on would be filled with unspeakable suffering, misery, and death. Suffering that our father and our elder brother would have to watch and allow until Christ would come as Savior to remove Satan and his influence. Think for a minute, brethren, about how we feel when someone close to us is suffering. You know, for example, when a mate or a child is seriously ill, or when a family member or a close friend is suffering from an accident or an illness that could or will end in death. You know, we've all experienced such suffering. But have you ever thought what it must be like for God, our Creator, our very parent, to have to watch every single human being suffer in the many ways that we do every second of every day? You know, is it any wonder that the first thing Jesus tells us to pray for is thy kingdom come? Thy kingdom come when all the suffering will end and God will be able to comfort all his children. I want to look at another verse that ties all this more directly to us and to an important thing that we are to be learning from what we suffer. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 4. It struck me when I saw this verse a few weeks ago how much it parallels what's said in Hebrews. 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. Excuse me. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Think about what we're told here. If we are letting the mind of Jesus Christ that was in him be in us and lead us, the suffering that we see and personally experience will help us overcome and put sin out of our lives so that we, quote, no longer should live the rest of our time in this flesh for the lusts of men. That means according to the selfishness of human nature, but we will live for the will of God, that is, for God's way of serving and outgoing concern, living by his laws. So how does that happen? When we first experience suffering in our lives as a child, we're not just hurt, we're confused. Why me? What did I do? Why did they do that to me? That's not fair. You know, even as adults, that feeling of not being treated fairly can still trouble us. You know, before I was a teenager, my father told me that life is not fair, and that's the way it's meant to be. You know, in one sense, he was correct. He was right. We all know that suffering is the result of sin inspired by Satan. And in this world ruled by Satan and our twisted human nature, life is not fair. So at times, we're correct in feeling that we are not being treated fairly. And yes, much of what we suffer is the result of other people's sins. Some people thousands of miles away or hundreds of years in the past, and we can still suffer from them. But what, you know, we try hard to ignore is the fact that we, personally, are often the source of the unfairness that hurts us. Humanly, we just are not very good at connecting cause and effect where our own actions are concerned. But when God opens our minds and gives us His Spirit, we begin. We begin to understand His laws and how those laws protect us from suffering and how they can strengthen us when we are suffering. We learn that God will help us, you know, when we are suffering, and that we can really trust Him when we are following as He leads. We also understand that all of the suffering is temporary. And then there's another thing that happens. We begin to see the connection between sin, that is living the way of the world around us, the way we were accustomed to living, and the suffering that we see, the suffering that we experience. And we grow to dislike and even to hate the suffering that we see, that we experience. You know, we hate the suffering that we see so many innocent children and other people go through. We wish that people would not do those things that cause that suffering. We wish that we could stop doing those things that cause pain and suffering to ourselves and to other people we love. You know, we grow to desire to change. And when we do, God says, "Good, my precious child, let me help you." Then, little by little, as Christ's mind, His Spirit, and power grow stronger in our minds, we are strengthened so that we can resist Satan and his world as they try to pressure us, try to trick us into, you know, turning away from God's way of life even a little bit. We began to do what Peter tells us in this verse, you know, in chapter 5 here that we looked about. We began to turn away from our old way of living to obedience to God's way of living. You know, brethren, because of Satan's hatred and Adam and Eve's sin, Pain and suffering are a constant part of our lives. And Satan definitely wants us to suffer. But suffering is not God's will for us. He tells us, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Come out of the world, come out of Satan's world, and choose life. He wants good for us. And yet, as Peter said, when God's mind is working in us, God will use the suffering to help us to learn to hate sin and to turn away from sin to God's loving way of life. You know, he will, through that, be preparing us for our place in his family. So we need to remember, brethren, that as hard as our suffering can be, our Father is using it for our eternal good, to teach us to love his way of life because of the love that he has for each and every one of us. Thank you.